Welcome to this week's episode of Success in Women. I'm Linda.
I'm Andrea.
And we're so excited that today is International Women's Day.
Hey.
We've got lots to talk about today, but before we get started, Andrea's got her tip of the week.
Well, in the same realm as women and helping women take care of themselves, protect themselves, I saw on Facebook this new gadget, and I'm thinking of getting it myself. And especially for women who travel alone, who live alone, there is a new gadget, and it's called the Door Stop Alarm. And it's exactly what it sounds like. So the old, remember the old-fashioned door stop? It would look like a wedge.
Yeah.
Put in the door. Well, this one, it's battery operated, and you shove it in the door, and if somebody tries to open it, it presses on something and sends out an alarm.
Huh?
And I thought, what a great idea, because you can, it's just a small thing. You can put it in your suitcase, your carry-on, take it with you wherever you are.
Well, it's great for hotel traveling as well.
Exactly. And the only thing is, the door has to swing inward.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some places, the doors swing outward. But I thought, most hotels, they swing inward. So I thought that was a great idea.
It
if you're on a cruise ship,
well,
anywhere.
It is, but only because, and I remember actresses, some, while they were in hotels, have actually, you know, had been broken into and been raped and stuff.
And flight attendants.
I would think with them especially, yes. Oh, that's a great gadget.
Yes. So if you're a woman that feels they need some little extra protection, check it out. It's Door Stop Alarm.
Did you check to see if it was a woman that invented it? Because wouldn't that be just ideal if it was actually a woman that thought of those safety things and came out with something? Man, so we were talking earlier, you know, it's so exciting because when you think about, Andrew and I were very fortunate to grow up with fathers that were progressive. And she was telling me a story about her dad coaching hockey, boys hockey. And I'm going to let her tell that story in a minute. But also, I remember growing up and my father, and he's been passed away since 1974. This month, actually, will be 50 years that he's been gone. The thing what's really interesting is that my father could have written the book on parenting, because my father was ahead of the game in the sense of he didn't raise the boys and the girls, because we're, you know, three girls and four boys. And he didn't raise us that there was traditional jobs and education for boys and then something different for women. He just said you could be anything you wanted to be, and he encouraged that. And I think even for me going into, I went into accounting initially before I got into my other profession that is male dominated. And it's interesting that I would have picked something like that, but I didn't think about genders and what was normal and what wasn't. And, you know, working all these years and you see a room, it's mostly full of men, and then you get, you know, a handful of women. It's increasing all the time.
Right.
But anyway, to get back to the fact that we were, I'll say, lucky to be children of progressive fathers that treated women equally, and when I say women, I'm talking little girls, and said that they could grow up to be anything. And tell the story, Andrea, about your father coaching a boys' hockey.
Right. Well, back in the day, so my father coached my brothers, because there was four girls and two boys.
And that would have been back in the 1960s.
I was born in the 50s.
Right.
You know, so in the 60s. And like you say, my father never said, well, girls have to do this and boys. I mean, I remember my dad telling my brothers, you know, get up and help your sisters with the dishes.
Yeah.
Get, do this, do that, you know. So I saw that. But the thing was, my father was loved hockey, and he coached my two brothers. And I remember when my one brother, younger brother, joined the team. My older brother was the goalie and Michael was center. Well, lo and behold, there was a woman, a young girl on the team. So I'm talking maybe 10 years old, maybe younger. I can't remember. But she was wanting to play hockey. And there was such a uproar about this young girl playing on the boys' hockey team. And my father was like, no problem. Let's see what she's got. And believe it or not, she ended up playing with my brother until they were maybe 16, 17 years old. She was always on one of his wings. They played together. They were the two top scorers in the whole league. The issue was, back then, she was not allowed to be in the boys' change room. She always had to come to the games fully dressed in hockey gear. And there was a lot of people that were not happy about it. She was laughed at, ridiculed, until she gained their respect because she ended up being one of the best hockey players on the team. And my father never had an issue. I never heard him complain. So for me, I thought, well, you know, she can do it. You know, we played ringette, which is a female version of hockey. But yeah, it was great. And my mother was a very tough, independent woman, whatever she wanted to do. That was another thing. My father never said, oh, your place is in the home. Yeah. You know,
barefoot and pregnant.
Barefoot and pregnant, get in the kitchen. Yeah. You know, no. Whatever my mother wanted to do, I remember my mother didn't drive, so my father drove her everywhere. So it was great for us women, us young girls being inspired by that and not to feel that, well, I have to get married and serve a man my entire life, you know, to be happy.
And you know what? The thing is, if that's what you want, there's no issue.
No issue whatsoever.
But you don't want to be pigeonholed into that's all you should be.
Yeah.
Or some profession that's, I'll say, traditionally women, which are teachers and nurses. Nothing wrong with any of that. They're all noble professions.
Exactly.
But if you wanted to be an astronaut or work behind the scenes, you know, for the space program. Right. So Andrew and I were talking about the movie called The
Hidden Figures.
The Hidden Figures. And it was a number of women that were really, I'll say, the brains behind a lot of the things that were going on, especially, and I believe that was with the Apollo one, right?
Right.
When they actually successfully brought these astronauts back. Mm-hmm. I just like...
Yeah, the movie was incredible. And they were African-American women also.
Educated women that still...
So intelligent.
But even then, I remember in the movie, I think they were working in some back room and stuff. They did not have the respect of the men until the very end. And I'm like, oh my God, these women are brilliant women.
Right. Oh. I know, it gives you chills when you see movies like that. And when you see how some women were treated back in the day, and that's another thing about International Women's Day. Like I was saying to Linda earlier, we think of it as to encourage women to be successful, mostly in our world, in business.
In North American standards.
In North American standards, like, you know, be a CEO of companies, be an astronaut. But when we talk about international, there are women in the world that don't even eat regular meals. They're considered servants. They're below men, they're below their children. And so you feel for those women, and those are the women that we need to speak up for and help and encourage our children to advocate for them. And where if there's a space in the world where you can help, donate or I don't know,
hire, but even we were talking about
women
to, yes, like if you are, you know, running a company or own a company, that you get more, I'll say, you know, women into especially the non-traditional,
right?
You know, so that you give women opportunities and they can inspire their daughters.
Right.
And Andrea was telling me a fantastic story. Her daughter's a teacher and the daughter got the class to say who inspired them, you know? And
yeah, she asked them to write a short story about anybody, not just a woman, anybody famous who inspired them. And these are primary students, not teenagers. And so they all had their little say, and this one girl spoke up and she said, I'm inspired by my mother. And Sarah was like, oh, okay, I meant famous, but let's hear about it. Anyways, her mother ended up being a two-time gold Olympic medalist for the Canadian hockey team. Yes, and Sarah was like, wow, I did not know that. And then she got it. But not only that, after this mother woman had retired from the hockey, she now is on one of the sports channels on the panel for
as a commentator.
The commentator for the hockey.
Like, and, I love it.
Yes, and it like, how lucky was that little girl that she could look up to her mom and that she is inspired by her. It's not just like, oh, mom's a hockey player. First of all, that in itself is incredible.
Yes.
That she is a Olympic hockey player. When I'm telling you about the story of my brother's friend who was ridiculed for playing hockey and wasn't even allowed in the dressing room. And here she is.
No, but
is.
That part I do agree. I don't think even back then the boys and girls should have met.
But the thing is, they didn't. They don't didn't strip down.
No, but they should have accommodated something.
They just
something.
Put a little bit of sweat. I think near the end, like a couple of years later, they started having, because then when the other girls saw her playing, they all wanted
more
to play hockey. Yes,
so that's what she was. She was an inspiration.
She was a trailblazer, especially. We lived in a small little village up northern Ontario, so she really inspired a lot of women. And then they eventually had to have a space for the girls to put their equipment on and whatnot. And I could say those stories are linked.
Yeah.
You know, like how that girl in Azilda inspired other women, inspired other women. Who knows if it didn't get to Jen at some point, you know? Yeah, it's incredible. So the younger generation growing up now, they're very blessed because there are so many women out there doing non-traditional jobs that we would ever imagine to do. You know, astronauts, lawyers. My niece is a doctor. You know, how wonderful is that? And so they have a lot of women role models, whereas we didn't really. Like, I remember as a young girl, I loved Star Trek. I was a Trekkie from little. And they had women, you know, in their show, in the universe, out in the universe, doing all these wonderful things. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. So yeah, you know, it we didn't have many, but there was some, and but now they have a lot. So,
well, I noticed that for me on the business side,
yes,
even though it's a male dominated industry, and I even read, you know, recently about a number of women that are CEOs of major Fortune financial companies. The thing is that we are still underrepresented. If you think of, just say, a population of maybe 50% women, 50% men, we still have a lot of men in certain traditional jobs that men always did, where now that percentage of women, it's growing, but we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. We're not yet treated equally. Right. And even I remember there was some job, and I remember that they said, women don't need to support family, so they wanted to pay less.
Oh,
and,
boy.
You know, I sometimes, even in this day and age, I'm like, do people still think that way? Because
right.
I never thought that way ever, because I always thought we were equal.
I don't think now you can ask, right? If you're married or...
Yeah, but I'm not,
I'm not sure, because I'm not in the business world.
No, but I'm not only talking in North America anymore.
Right.
I'm just, you know, in general, women are still being treated a lot less. Then I'll say equal in a lot of professions.
Well, even in the movie, I was just reading something the other day about the movie Color Purple and Fantasia, who I know about that one. Yes, from when she was on American Idol. And she was one of the stars in Color Purple. And she was talking about the mistreatment and... the pay wasn't up to par, and
I think she got like $50,000 for that movie. That was an extreme success, because she was a woman,
right? Well, there were a lot of women in it, but the thing is, who was the producer?
I know,
Oprah.
Yeah.
So it
that was why there was such a backlash to all of that going on, because especially Oprah being, for a lot of us, a woman and an inspiration, because she was a major trailblazer.
Mm-hmm. For all of
major.
Us.
Major. Mm-hmm. Yes, because for me, she was always the top of the list for me to meet as an inspiring woman. Mm-hmm. But I was disappointed to hear mm-hmm. that as a producer,
right.
that she didn't feel the need to treat other females with the same respect that a lot of men get.
Right, right. And especially when she talks about it.
Black women in particular.
Yes, exactly.
Like that's your own. And I'm like, everybody should be treated equally.
Right.
But even more so, why are you treating them, these women, like that? You know how difficult it was for you to be this trailblazer, because she was turned down, you know, on a lot of occasions, over and over and over.
Right.
And she fought her way up to where she was and had her own show and owned her own production company, everything
else.
And
I think it's your responsibility as a woman, when you get to that level, to
help.
To support other
women.
Encourage,
absolutely.
Whether it be financial, emotionally, however you can, to lift them up, because you're paying it forward.
Absolutely.
And those women will do the same and, you know, so on and so forth. Like, I mean, I look at somebody like Dolly Parton, who is like an unbelievable woman who encourages other people. And she has that book program. And she buys millions of books and sends them out to schools all over. And so she's helping the younger minds grow. Now, I know Oprah did the school in girls' school in South Africa and that, but we don't hear about that here. So we don't know what's happening there, but we heard about that. So that was not good.
It wasn't. And not just from that, because woman to woman, when mm-hmm. we can, we're supposed to be supporting each other.
Yes.
Because if we don't do it for each other, who will?
I think there's still that little bit of fear that someone, that if I help you succeed, you'll surpass me, and then I'll be left in the wings. I think there's still a little bit of that because of who's on top of there, right? You know, and especially in Hollywood and those kind of places. That's a scary world to be a part of.
It is. It really is.
Especially a woman, you know, because you see older men having all these great roles and such, whereas
older women have a harder time.
Yep. And they're considered past their prime. I think it's getting better and better, because you know, if you have a movie with older women in it, what are you going to do? Get young women and make them look like old women? Why would you do that? You've got amazing women that can play those parts.
Well, do you remember the book club? And then they had the book club too, because of, you know, like they went to Italy and stuff, but they were all older women.
Yeah.
The role was for older women, and they put older women in.
And it was fantastic. What was that one with Goldie Hawn and...
First Wives Club.
First Wives Club. That was incredible. Bette Midler. And those women are, I guess in the old days, the Marilyn Monroes and all that, they did glamour roles.
There were no mother roles. It was the sex appeal type of woman, where these are
movies
about strong women.
Yeah, about
independent
women.
Mature, independent, strong women.
Strong.
That really, whether you're young or old, can feel inspired and encouraged that you can be your own person.
Yeah. Well, like you were saying about them all traveling in the old days.
Women
would never go traveling on their own and get the respect, or, you know, you'd be afraid. But now women travel all the time. Look at you yourself. You're always traveling alone.
But it's interesting. I know a lot of men that have groups of friends that will all plan a golf holiday somewhere. Could be in Europe, could be somewhere in the States. I mean, but really nice golf holidays. So the guys can all be together. They golf, they bond. Really enjoy each other's company for those, I'm going to say, few days, because it's not normally more than a week or less. you don't hear women doing that so much. And the reason is because women would never consider taking that much time and money away from the family coffers, where men don't think about it for the most part. Right. They just plan these trips.
And the children.
And it's good that they do it. Yes. But the point is, women should be doing this because it's good for everybody. It's healthy to have some time apart from your spouse and doing stuff with other like-minded women.
Right. And I've done it a lot, and I used to always say, it's funny how when you have children, the men will come home and say, oh, by the way, I'm going out to the hockey game tonight with the guys, you know? And then, but if I had to go somewhere, I'd have to say, oh, by the way, are you going to be home tomorrow night? Because I want to go here, but are you going to be home to watch the kids? Men don't think about if you're going to be home to watch the kids.
No, you just have to be.
Yeah, they just assume that if they're going out, you'll be fine watching the kids.
Yeah.
But the women always have to say, are you going to be home? Yeah. Or do I need to call somebody?
Like, yeah.
It's weird, the roles that women get locked into. And
because that mindset has never been really changed.
Yeah, I know.
And we talked about certain things. Once you... And we talked about that in the sense of parenting, that, you know, when you do certain things in your parenting style and you think that you're doing a good thing, but you only find out years looking back that maybe it wasn't a good thing for your child. That was a habit now that you can't undo.
Right.
So it's the same idea, because you can't just expect that you do this one thing and then all of a sudden, bang, it's going to flip. So if your mindset has always been thought a certain way and that's all you've seen in your house, mm-hmm. and you never change it, then your own kids, and it goes generation to generation.
Yeah.
And that's why they say they carry on all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Women have to be always, I'm going to say, sort of progressing in the sense of equality in jobs, in relationships, in a lot of things.
Well, and I think that that's a main thing, because men grow up with mothers who probably do everything for them, cook for them, do their laundry.
Especially some of
the European
families, yes.
So when I always said to my daughters, don't start doing things for them right off the bat, because it is when you first meet somebody, you want to get married, you want to look like the perfect wife, don't do it, because then it'll become your job. And they don't look at it as if something nice you do. They just look at it as, that's what
expected.
My mother did. So I guess you're going to do it now.
Yes.
And I used to say to them, don't pick up after them. Make sure that they, you know, do whatever, like put their clothes here. Like, tell them what you expect from your marriage. Don't get married and then
think you're going
to
change them. Yeah.
You know, just say what you're expecting. Like, it's a 50-50
relationship.
And especially if the wife works. And my daughters all work. My one daughter works.
But Andrea, to be fair, it's still 50-50, even if you don't work outside the home. Because women that stay home to raise the kids and take care of their partner, they are working.
Oh, right.
But they don't have an eight-hour job.
No.
It's much longer.
I'm here to tell you that.
Yes. Yes. It's
but
non-stop.
I never had an issue, because with my husband, the law was laid down right from the get-go. I'm not your slave. I'm not your mother. I'm your partner. And we've never had an issue there. I'm so thankful and blessed. And I think that's maybe why, you know, we've had a happy, long marriage, because we're partners.
Yes.
And if he wants to go somewhere and do something, like, you know, he loved the Formula One. He traveled all over. Great, go. I was curling. I did curling, bond spills, whatever. We respected each other's hobbies and times. And, you know, we had fair is fair. Like, there was a few things, you know, but because of his business. But anyways, you make it work. But you have to tell your partner, especially lifetime partner, what you expect.
And the thing is, and that's why when you're dating, it's to find out if you're a match, because you need to know. Because if your partner is actually thinking, oh, no, this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's not a match. And you're never going to change that.
No.
But you have to have enough respect for yourself to say, no, I am an equal.
Yes.
And why shouldn't you be?
Yes.
I mean, because you're born a certain gender, all of a sudden now it's kind of like, okay,
yeah.
no, I got to listen to the man?
No.
Mm-mm. That's not the way it works. And that's why for, you know, the International Women's Day, every day is International Women's Day, in my opinion, because we are still advocating for each other.
Right.
And we have to keep that up
and
keep doing it. No matter where you are in the world, we want you to be inspired by other women.
And if like today especially, if you have special women in your life, your mother, your daughters, whatever, give them a call. Say, Happy International Women's Day. I love you and keep up the good work, especially I'm going to do that with my daughters. And just lift their spirits. If nothing else today, at least do that.
It would be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that for my mom, but I'm always trying to lift up, I'll say,
your sister.
My sisters, mm-hmm. and my, you know, my niece and
me?
Stuff. Nieces. Yeah, well, we always lift up each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of Success in Women. We actually had planned that we would do another part of our health and wellness kick that we're on right now. You will get that next week. But Andrea and I also want to let you know that we're on Spotify now.
Yes.
So we have a podcast if you need to download, so you can go for your walk and still hear us.
Hear, listen to us.
You don't have to actually, you know, watch the YouTube version of this.
Right, right.
So we're really
so exciting.
Yes. So if you like the program, we hope that you
like,
share,
and please subscribe.
We can't do it without you, ladies.
That's right.
Two thumbs up. Until next week.
Have a great week.
I'm Linda.
I'm Andrea.
See you.